Here in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is laying out his case for grace and the law, and how the law is used and what the grace is really for. As he goes on, he does so using an illustration regarding marriage. That is where we find ourselves today. Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are back in Romans chapter 7 today. We're focusing in on the first six verses. Married to another is the title of our message today. It's a clear illustration of grace and law and what God has intended for both. Won't you join us? Again, it's Abounding Grace. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon as we turn our attention to Romans chapter 7 with a marvelous illustration about grace and the law. Chris.
Look at verse 1. "For do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person as long as he lives." Let's stop there. The law, the better word here, I believe, because Paul's been using it in Romans 6, is dominion. The law has dominion over a man for as long as he lives. Paul is looking at the Jews who were handed the law. And what we're going to see is that this has wide implications for everyone. Because though they were handed the letter and the written code, though they were handed that, Paul has already made the case that everyone is under the law, as we heard this morning, even by the law written on the conscience. But we look at Israel and see, when they had the written law handed to them, how did they do with it? And Paul is saying that actually when it was handed to them, which should teach the whole world, that it has absolute dominion over him as long as he lives. Dominion. Now, this is a very important section here. What is that? What does that mean, dominion? What does the law do? It commands. He just said, if someone's under it, it has dominion. So, we looked at last time. These aren't suggestions. And right in line with this morning, turn back just for a moment to Exodus 19. And this whole section of Exodus 19 to 24, here we see this whole ceremony. This morning we looked at the ceremony of it ratified. But I want you to notice, again, how the whole terms of this were set up. And I want you to think, as I'm doing this, of a wedding ceremony where the parties are standing there and making their oaths. And I want you to ask the question, who swore the oath? Notice this in Exodus chapter 19 at verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, now think of Exodus 24, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Now that's a wow verse. God put the terms there, but notice how it came. If you keep all this, then. Now, how does that strike you? That strikes you and should strike you in many different ways. If you will think back to Pastor Donovan's sermon last Sunday morning, when God cut the covenant with Abraham, where was Abraham? Asleep. And did you get that here in Exodus 19? They're standing up. And they're saying, they're taking the oath, we'll do it. And then, as you heard this morning, when it was ratified, whoosh, 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 blood's on you. Now think of a marriage for a minute. Israel got married that day. Israel got married. Now, what happens here? Think of what Paul's developing. Paul has challenged us. How did Israel do under the law? Terribly. They did none of it. Now come back to Romans 7 and listen to it with that in mind. Everything you heard this morning and then tonight. You who know the law, do you know it has dominion over a man as long as he lives? The dominion of the law required, Heidelberg 10, and taking right out of Galatians, cursed is everyone who does not do all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now, Paul's going to say the law is good. But you know what the law was? It was an overwhelming yoke. An overwhelming yoke. And Paul is reacting to those who had an entirely wrong view of the law and its purpose. Why did God give the law? The fact is, the law, the Jews would run around even saying, this law is a heavy yoke. And now you can kind of understand what the apostle's dealing with in saying that the law was given to show us, if you will, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. It's not that the law is the problem. The problem is the human heart. And you kind of understand tonight why there is a reaction in Christianity when Christianity is presented only as a system of morality. Is Christianity moral? Yes. And we teach morality. But when it's only presented that way, you have all sorts of problems. It actually, you end up leveling upon the people new yokes that they can't keep. In fact, when I was a Christian school teacher, my students, it was interesting, I would always probe the students and talk to the students in the classroom about the chapels. And my students often were troubled by the chapels. And I'm relaying what they said to me. You know, they were troubled by the chapels, and I understood that the faculty wanted to get spirituality into the students because the students were showing such little spirituality. I heard that all the time. And they were going to bring in somebody who was going to lay it on thick about living. And he was going to lay it on thick. And if you could always summarize the title of the chapel message, it was, What You Should Not Do. And so we would have graphic chapels on sex and alcohol, and the speaker would then give detailed examples of things that he tried in his own life that the students should not do. And what do you think that did in the hearts of the students? What has Paul said about the law? What does it do? It arouses sin. And this caused problems. Remember the cookie. You take a chocolate cookie and you set it in front of a kid and you say, don't. What does he want to do? Eat the cookie. And so the law is arousing sin. And I always knew they were playing with fire doing this stuff, because what they were doing, when Paul says here that this is what it does, it was the worst kind of glamorization of sin. And those with any kind of sensitive conscience coming out of chapel felt, I'm missing something. I am missing something in the Christian life, because I'm not having that experience of this really bad guy who's telling me how bad he was. It was very similar in the Jewish religion, that they had created a whole system of oral traditions on top of the law of God to get people in line. And it was an unbearable yoke over the law of Moses, adding all of these commands and compounding the problem. Nobody could come and measure up before God, you know. And the early church wrestled with this. You know, it's interesting. When the church was going out, they didn't know what to do, how to relate to the law. And what, remember what the Judaizers were doing to the early church? This is why they had the first council. And in Acts 15, this is what we read. When they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it's necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They need to do that. Imagine this. In the midst of all of that, hands put up, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me and I will take that yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can you hear it? My yoke is not that. I'll take it. Come to me. And you understand what infuriated the religious community when somebody was running around speaking like that. Jesus was saying, I'm the way. Through me you find freedom. not looking and living under the law, which brings you bondage. And so you're getting a sense tonight of what Paul means here. The law has dominion over you for as long as you live. It's a master over you. It's a tyrant for you because it says you have to keep it perfectly. And if you do not, you die, as we heard this morning. And now Paul illustrates, and this is where we'll end tonight. I want to let this set in. The illustration is powerful. Notice he proves it here in verse 2. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law. And if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. It's a very simple illustration tonight. And you can't take it too far or else you'll get lost in it. It's simple. Everyone knows that when a man and a woman marry, it's for what? Life. That's how God intended it. Paul says, we all know that a woman who has a husband is bound there. As long as she lives, she's bound. And Paul is teaching the principle here that the husband has authority over the woman as long as she lives. And Paul says, we understand this about marriage. We know this about marriage if we know anything of the biblical design. It's a law for life. Now, Paul's thinking in biblical terms of this unbreakable bond of marriage. The only way that bond is broken is if there's a death. That's it. And so if while her husband still lives and she goes out and she marries another, she is an adulteress. But if her husband died, she's free. Now, I hope you're starting to see this come together. Paul uses this illustration to make one main point. You don't have to go further with it than you need to. The main point is to show that a way someone is free from being under the law is by death. Now, do you get what he's doing? When Israel had that formal ceremony in Exodus 24, that was a kind of marriage ceremony that shows us that everyone's under the law. And if making a connection to marriage, the only way the marriage relationship is broken is through death, you've got a problem. How could Israel be freed from the law? Israel shows us that everyone in Adam is under the law. And Paul is proclaiming what? What did he proclaim in chapter 6, verse 2? There was a death. And chapter 6, verse 2, what does he say? Actually, it's 6 verse, yeah. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin, still live in it? There was a death. There was a death. And isn't that what Paul says in verse 4 tonight? Therefore, my brethren, I love this in verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. You're betrothed to another. You're married to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. Now that should all come together for you. The thesis he's been developing tonight is you can't just go on carelessly living in sin with no conscience, unrepentant, under its mastery, under its dominion as a believer. Why? Because you died. And you were joined to another. And if the law's purpose was to show us our sin, the law had complete dominion over us. It was our husband, if you will. That relationship was shattered by death. Whose death? Our death in the death of Christ. So that just like when a woman who loses her husband is free from that commitment, so there was a death for you. You say, when? What we've been saying the whole time. See how this isn't that complex? When Jesus died, and believing in him by faith, you died. You were set free, and you came under a brand new husband, if you will. You became married to another, to Christ. You are totally free from being under the law for condemnation. See how this all anticipates Romans 8, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. It is absolutely impossible. With his death, since you died by faith, believing in him, you're freed now and you are joined to him who is Christ. You are brought into a relationship with a master who is what? Gracious. Loving. He doesn't condemn you. He's freed you. It's what he came to do. And what about the law? Well, the paradox of the whole thing, as we said last time, is when you've now been set free from the law of sin and death, being under a gracious master, you actually end up pursuing from the heart what the law requires. And that's the beauty of it. That's why the Heidelberg does not put the law in the guilt section, but puts it in the grace section to tell us you honor it as those who are free. All the demands met in Jesus Christ, his perfect life, not only were they met, but being united with him in death, this penalty of breaking the law, all of the curse falling on him, you were freed from that yoke right then and there to be ever accepted and received before this holy God. And that's the glorious gospel he's been showing us over and over and over. You know, the fact is, our commitments fail, don't they? Our commitments fail. And the reality is, we're going to see in Romans 7, I'm incredibly cold to him. I don't love him the way that I wish I did. I give little care and devotion to him. My worship is half-hearted. My love is weak at best. I'm often shamed by the things that I continue to do that I don't want to do. But the beautiful truth put on display in Romans 7 is my husband is absolutely committed to this relationship. Christ wants us to understand the bond that exists between him and his church cannot be broken. When he has freed his elect and brought them in and given them life, he will not divorce us. And that means that in dying for you, all of these, what we've looked at in the Greek, aorist tenses here, which are completed actions of the past that have immense benefits for the present, means that he decided to be a spiritual husband to us. And he has desired and he has committed himself through thick and thin, through our failures, to present us as a beautiful bride without spot and without wrinkle. That's what we are in him. And he loves you that much to make sure that's how it is. So Paul is saying the purpose of your death here, and I love this, if anyone's ever concerned about the concern that we're throwing out the law or that we're antinomians, what did Paul say here at the end? He says, we're released from the law. And notice what he says. When you're under the law, you're bearing fruit for what? Death. But now being released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, we now serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We're bearing fruit. That's what he's working in us. The works even prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So notice in verse 6, that beautiful statement. The reality is you once were darkness, now you're light. You've been delivered from this. You've died to sin. You've been freed through the body of Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is committed to bring about a fruitful relationship. And here's what's happening. I leave you with the words tonight of Galatians 5, which are absolutely beautiful in showing the contrast again. And we'll close with this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, notice how he says it, that those who practice such things, they're living in it with no repentance, no sorrow. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Can you hear that now? Can you hear that? Do you want that now? That's the desire and pursuit of one who's come under God's relentless, pursuing, amazing grace. Amen. O Lord our God, we are grateful for the gracious way and the wonderful grace that you've shown to us by sending your Son to die, that we, having died to sin, now might live to you, slaves of righteousness, being brought out, set free, loved, so that the relationship can never be broken because of the wonderful covenant of grace that you made so many years ago with your servant Abraham. And when you made that promise, passing through those pieces, you assured us that those descendants would be as the stars in the heavens and the sand on the seashore, and that all the Gentiles of the earth would be blessed in him. And tonight we are blessed. Thank you for saving us by grace through faith by the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or, if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
People become very content under ministries that don't press their life, but it does nothing for your soul. And if you notice what Paul is saying here, under that, you can remain alive. This is what the religion of the Pharisees, you can remain alive without really receiving the law. And you can never come to an end of yourself. thinking you're doing fine. And that's my greatest burden for gospel ministry. I love all of you, and I want all of you to be in glory. But I know that at times it's going to be pressing, and it has to be.
Well, that is tomorrow with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then for Abounding Grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.